meeting with Lapine Park and Rec at 5 o'clock on February 24th. And I will stop there and let Park and Rec open their...
All right, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We are honored and happy to be here for our joint session with the Park and Rec District and the City Council. Initially, it would be a wonderful thing to have this more often. And that's what we're called to order also.
All right. I'll establish a quorum for the City of Lapine.
Dennis Scott here.
Karen Ward here.
Kathy Egan here.
And Ken Molnix is here, and our Councilor Martinez is out sick tonight. So we will make a note of that. And at this time, I'd like to proceed with a Pledge of Allegiance. Maybe Tony would read the pledge for us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Tony.
Could the board members for Parks and Rec state their names for the record?
Indeed.
Toby Wilson.
Gary Gordon, Chairman.
Linda Vasali.
Thank you.
Absent is Tracy Ross.
Karen.
Karen.
Oh, Karen Miller.
General Manager.
What I think we'd like to do first is to take about 15 minutes and have you give us an idea of the plan that you have for the ball fields.
Indeed.
Findlay Butte.
I think that's a good idea to start. And I'll turn that over to our General Manager, Karen.
All right.
In fact, I have perhaps a drawing.
Oh.
I brought the one.
So, after talking to quite a few parents and working with the schools, just getting some feedback, they would like to see some of the things that we kind of incorporated in this wonderful drawing. And since Findlay Butte already has a basic foundation of sidewalks, electricity, parking lot, some of those big dollars, we would like to kind of revamp that park. That park has a lot of potential, and that's why we're looking at it as more of a sports complex. It already has the three fields in it that would provide softball tournaments and little league tournaments and baseball tournaments, which is obviously revenue for the city, the town, and then for ourselves, and then providing, you know, great space for the public to come play. It is the only baseball fields, public baseball fields, that are open to the public within an 80-mile radius. And so it does have a lot of opportunities for grants that we are searching for to improve those ballparks for those tournaments. Along with that, we now have a pickleball club here in Lapine, and it is attended well.
Can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. Does the pickleball going to be at Findlay Butte, or what's that
yes.
about? So you're going to do pickleball at Findlay Butte too?
Yes, we would like to put outside pickleball courts there that would also offer pickleball tournaments. And with the support of the pickleball club, they are fundraising to do some of that. Along with that, a skate park. I can't remember the name exactly of the skate park. It's not your typical skate park.
Skate Plaza.
Plaza, yeah.
So,
well, it's not just a bowl. It kind of extends out through the park, so it gives the kids more movement through the park, along with the walking path around the 10 acres. And then, of course, some of our bigger vision is a gymnasium over there. The gymnasium would provide a place for our wrestling club that we have here. Also, there's been a lot of talk for volleyball tournaments not just for the high school, but for adults here in the town, just having a league of their own. And then, of course, indoor hockey, you can do indoor soccer. The gymnasium also would provide an indoor walking path. I don't know if you've seen those. They're kind of two stories. We have the walking path up above. It makes a great opportunity for people to walk and watch their kids practice at the same time, so it's kind of a win-win. Plus, gymnasium for the park and rec to do basketball. At this time, the school has been very gracious to partner with us to allow us to run our basketball programs through their gyms, and they would like to see an extra gym kind of come available as their tournaments are growing down here that they have. Along with that, some sort of water feature. I have visited other districts in the state of Oregon, anywhere from LaGrande to Portland, Lincoln City, Hood River, the Dalles, and just kind of with the weather and options that we have here, you can go two different ways. You have your splash park, which, you know, anybody can enjoy. It's less expensive. It does have the recycled water. I was thinking, what is that called? The recycled water, which is very efficient. But also there's the option of a small pool, which I would almost say on a weekly basis, I have somebody coming in asking when we're putting one in.
Yeah.
With that said, I've visited several facilities that do have smaller pools. They do fairly well instead of doing a large one, just keeping it, you know, very minimal. But with that said, it would also provide for our youth to be able to practice for swim teams, so that, you know, that is one option that we do not have down here, and we could work with the school to help, you know, to provide that option for them also.
Okay. Can I inject here? Since we have a limited amount of time,
mm-hmm.
I think since we're dealing with water,
mm-hmm.
and that's our whole reason
right.
for meeting tonight, I'd like to stick to what are your plans for the ball fields?
So,
I mean,
okay. Well, that's kind of an overview. Mm-hmm. So,
he'd also clarify is that these potentials out in the future do not include any part of the city water. We have a well out there that we're going to try to get back running again. So,
I understand.
Short-term perspective.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, we're related to water. Let's talk about the baseball fields or the softball fields or whatever.
Okay. So the three fields out there, there's one that is pretty well kept, and the other one is needs some work. The third one is not developed at this time. We do have Little League that does work with us. They help us maintain it in the summer and then also help with cleanup and that kind of thing. They are holding games out there at this time, but we need the third field in order to do the tournaments. With that said, we're definitely looking at putting, you know, seating the third field. The second field needs some work, like I said, some reseating in some spots, some fix up on the dugouts. And we're looking at some grants for some scoreboards and then just kind of revamping the concession stands there. So that's kind of what you're looking at, the ball fields.
Let me add.
Okay.
We've gone through this, Karen, and I have, and I think I can shortcut some of this. We've gone through a checklist of making sure that all of our irrigation equipment is running properly, including our timers for the sprinklers. We know the amount of water usage that's required and how efficient our sprinklers are. We know the coverage and how many sprinklers would be needed, including for the additional field. We have set in motion a process to reliably maintain and service filters for them with checklists and times, and, you know, this week you do this week you do that kind of thing. And with the city's help, we'll be able to track precisely the amount of water usage. And then if there's going to be any variations from it, we're going to be able to know those quickly too, so that we don't go down the road with a misimpression that is not good. Also, we've made certain that we're going to have on hand a ready supply of repair parts, so we don't have to wait till something comes in from Chattanooga or Chicago or someplace to do it. So we have the basic stuff already there so we can handle it. Karen has set in motion and kept up a continuing stream of volunteer partnerships. with various groups that will come in and actually do the physical work of mowing the lawn, seeding, the fertilizing, and all the pretty stuff that needs to happen to make it look like it's a real, real efficient thing there. And so that is what we have checked, and we are confident that we can do our end of it.
Okay, any questions from the council?
Yeah, of course. What's your time frame on the ball fields?
At this time, we're looking at going in and just doing a clean sweep. The summer Little League, and I have another crew, Youth Challenge, that's coming in to kind of help us just get prep the park. I'm hoping by next spring that we are doing our plants, the planting, and actually getting it filled in. We have to have it prepared and already, and you can't play on new grass. So that is kind of a project in the making. Then the third year, we're hoping to hold our first tournament. So it's going to take us some time to prepare it because it's been neglected for so long that just getting the ballparks up to where we can have tournaments, it's going to take us.
So as far as the water usage, though, you're only going to be watering one field and repairing the next two, or?
For this year, we'll be watering the two, and by next summer, we're hoping to have the third one in.
Okay.
So that's kind of what we're looking at. Mm-hmm.
Who are your partners in all of this?
We have Little League. Little League is the only ones that really use the field at this time, but they have the connections to help us develop the tournaments. And that's what we're kind of looking at. We also have done quite a bit of talking with Bend Park and Rec about different tournaments and how they hold theirs. So it's just kind of all in the planning stage of getting the ball rolling.
I remember last year or maybe the year before that have you reached out to Sun River?
We have reached out to them, but at this time they were kind of holding off because of the whole water situation, because it's kind of one of those things, you know, they don't want to invest unless we can keep it up, and so this is kind of our first step in getting the ball rolling. It's just showing that, you know, this is where we're headed.
We think it'll remove the hesitation of people who've been kind of on the sidelines waiting for a definite agreement to know that we really are going to have the resources necessary to maintain the field.
Mm-hmm.
How about grants? Have you gone out for grants to look for anything? And my second part is, if they haven't come through, I don't know her name, but I know there's a lady in town that's well known for successful grants, and if, you know, I would be reaching out to her. I think that's essential and important. I wish I knew her name. I don't. Somebody does, but I don't know who.
Tell them what grants are doing.
Okay, so every year the Oregon Parks and Rec District has opportunities for different grants. We did put in for one last year for Finley Butte. It was a very vague and broad view. They came back to us, they turned us down, but they came back with that we need to be more focused on a particular item in the park. And so Terry and I have been working on that just for the ball fields. There are other grants out there. We are checking into the Major League Baseball Grant Foundation. We're also checking into the Trailblazers. I know they come in and do different parks. And then, of course, we're just checking in. I mean, it's just a hunt and peck, but we are doing our research on the grants.
And who's your grant writer?
At this time, we have Bruce Abernathy and Terry Myers. We do have another lady coming in the following week. And I just met her, and she has written quite a few grants for the state and for different businesses, I should say. And so she's coming on board within the next 2 weeks.
Tell them about the one grant that you got for some equipment and stuff.
Oh, we just received a grant for $12,500 for updating our sports equipment. And at this time, we're looking at maybe using a portion of that to fix up some of our dugouts.
Okay.
Ken, do you know that lady's name? Is it a husband and wife team? Just for my own notes.
Is it? It isn't the Pinckney, one of the Pinckneys. Laura Pinckney, the wife of the Ace Hardware.
Maybe that's it.
She's a very famous grant writer.
Okay.
In Central Oregon and actually in the state.
Okay.
So that's the only one I know. The rest of them are all.
I know she's brought.
I'm going to just say, probably have grant writing experience, but I think there are wannabes that have not got a lot of experience yet. So that's that part.
Might be worth checking.
Yeah, and the competition for all the grants is intense.
It's huge. I know it is.
We got listed.
I know it is.
You know, for like 25 list of people, 25 made it and 45 didn't, and we made it up to like 26 and 27.
Yeah.
You just missed it. Just,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, just going by the fact that, you know, how we do it at the city, were we doing something like this, we'd have a written plan. I mean, I've heard a lot today, and I'm just wondering, is this just what's rolling around on your board, or do you have a written plan outlining all of this?
I can answer that. 10 years ago, there was a comprehensive plan that was comprehensive.
I'm not talking about a comprehensive plan.
Well,
I understand that.
I'm saying.
I'm talking about a plan. Excuse me, but.
What does that have to you?
Excuse me.
Basically, they're just friendly people in the ball fields and stuff. You know, like the things you've listed.
Mm-hmm. You like this?
Well, yeah, but you have like a timetable and stuff like that you're looking for.
A lot of it, like I said, kind of relies on this.
Because you just mentioned a lot of stuff and a lot of money.
Right. Well,
a lot of time.
Well, this, you know, is like a 10-year projection with everything in it.
That's what I'm...
Right. The ball fields we'd like to see up and running in the next 3 years. And that's our goal at this point. But a lot of it depends on the water. If the water situation isn't corrected, that can't happen. And so even our grant writers and, I mean, our grants that we're looking at, you know, they're looking, can you water 3 ball fields? Can you, you know, and so those are answers that we have. And so this piece of paper tonight or this MOU is very important for us to move forward.
Okay, I love this, that everybody's getting together. You know, that's a great thing. And I'd like to see this happen like every maybe 6 months to see how you're doing, if we can help, or what's happening. I mean, it only takes an hour out of everybody's time. If there's something more the city could do, or I just want to see it succeed. That's all.
Definitely.
You know, we're giving the effort to put the water out, and we want to partner with, you know, Park and Recs more. So maybe every 6 months we can get together and just to do a little powwow. And problems come up or.
Yeah, I would. I didn't mean to be that rude, and I didn't mean to be that indirect. But yes, we're in the process of completing a rather lengthy plan, which includes Finminute. Mm-hmm. We had an initial plan last summer that we approved to focus our attention on Finminute, but it's time that we do a long-term one because that's real important for our grant writing, for seeking grants to fulfill those needs. Mm-hmm. We're going to have that finished this year in a long-term way for all of our stuff, but that's the process that has to happen.
I think my interest in this is strictly around the water. We're here about water, and I think it would be important for us to have a good feeling about the idea that you have a specific plan, because I mean, we can talk about valves, we can talk about water flow, we can talk about seeding, we can talk about all this stuff, but surely you've got plans so that everybody at Park and Rec is on the same page, and you know, you can say that here's the timeline, these are the kinds of things we're going to do. It's only prudent in my mind that you've got a written plan that there's nobody going to have any misunderstandings about. As for the water, the city is going to come forward with water. There's no doubt about that. I'm just thinking that, you know, for our benefit, I don't think that we need to really be deeply involved in the great plan for Park and Rec. But we are interested in Findlay Butte just because we have a vested interest in it. And I think that would be a reasonable thing to see down the road somewhere when you've got that. So that's my thoughts about it.
We did put together our priority list, and on that was, you know, finishing the projects that we had out with the kitchen. We still have some paving, some different improvement issues at the community center. Number two on the list was definitely getting Findlay Butte developed, and that was number two priority that we know that we're already getting started on. And the first part of the Findlay Butte was the ball fields. So, yeah, developing a sports complex is something that we'd love to see happen down the line. But right now, that is the first project with Findlay Butte is the ball fields. Having green fields developed, a place where, you know, readily, like Karen said, you know, the neighborhood can come out, and if they want to get a pickup game of baseball, they can get a pickup game of baseball, as well as our little leagues, softball leagues, out-of-town groups, that type of thing. But, yeah, as far as the priority goes, that was on the short-term end of the priority list, is getting those fields in place. The hang-up, obviously, and following through on that was, how are we irrigate them? Because the existing well we had was not going to work. And getting an agreement with the city for the water was paramount in order to say, we can put the wheels in motion to get that piece moving. But like Karen said, she's already talked to, already talked to Little League, and they're on board, and they're willing to help out. We just need to be able to say, yeah, we can move this project forward. So
you're ready to move forward. Sorry. You're ready to move forward once you get the MOU signed. Mm-hmm. And everything would start shortly. Mm-hmm. Is there any way that could get sidelined by something else?
At this point, I don't see any sideline, because it's one of the easiest things to develop, because you're talking about some grass and some dirt at this point, and putting in a few dugouts. So at this point, we have a lot of support from Little League. They want to see the tournaments brought down here, and like I said, it just huge opportunity. Can bring, you know, anywhere from $60,000 to $80,000 into a small community like this in one tournament. So it's a win-win for everyone. Like I said, this year is a lot of cleanup. That place has been neglected for some time, and so it's just going to take some time getting the ball rolling there, clean up, taking out a few trees and those kind of things, and just cleaning up that area. And then, like I said, next year we really would like to see the seeding go in, the rest of the watering for the third ball field, and just see it, you know, clean it up, have it ready to go by next summer. And then the following year, you have to usually advertise almost a year in advance for tournaments. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at, by next summer, we're already putting in for that tournament option for the third year.
I don't expect a quick turnaround. I realize it's going to take probably at least a year to even begin to see anything. And I think that's acceptable. I don't think we can expect any more, considering where we live. Mm-hmm. We've always got that variance with the weather, and I think it's a good thing. I would support it wholly. My problem is I don't want to in any way undercut or feel like I'm possibly sabotaging what you're trying to do. On the other hand, I want to make sure you're ready to move forward, that this is in your sights, in the crosshairs, and that's where we're going. And I support it. I think it's needed. I think it's a good thing to do.
Thank you, Kathy. If I could just make another comment too, is that all right? You know, I went out there for Little League opening day last year. And that was before I was elected. And I saw the throngs and throngs of kids, parents out there, but I was actually embarrassed by the condition of the fields. Mm-hmm. And I made a vow that that is going to be a beautiful place. The kids are not going to be ashamed to play there. That people could come in from other communities and say, this is really a wonderful place to come. And it's more of an emotional thing with me. But as long as I have any say in it, it's going to happen. And it's going to happen as a priority. Because I don't want to have that embarrassment for my community.
No. You know, when we had Ashley Eaton here and that type of thing, there were comments that he was going to possibly help get that up and running for everything, and it just kind of fell to the wayside, and that's what I wouldn't want to happen again. We need that park up, we need it running, we need it functional, we need it beautiful, and we need it inviting to help with Huntington and everything. I mean, it all comes together if we can get things going, so.
I think if I can just bounce off of what Kathy has said, you know, where you've got a great asset like this, and you're bringing all these people down here, we want people to come here. There's no doubt that I wouldn't want any doubt in anybody's mind that the council's not totally in support of turning that into something. I think I have some thoughts around what Kathy said about, you know, something coming along and sidelining that, or something, or it not getting done, you know. I think that there are many avenues that you can have to help you. For instance, this thing with Ashton Eaton is not a dead issue. It was just never followed up on. And that is in I view that as sort of like having a plan, a written plan specifically to the ball fields, and having listed those people that can help you. I remember when I'm on several boards in Sun River. And I remember Tom O'Shea saying that, hey, we are ready to come down there. But it was that period of time before the new board is in place, and there was nothing happening in Lapine. Mm-hmm. And they took a look at that and said, well, wait a minute. We're not going to go to Lapine when they don't even know what they're doing. So I think there are many resources out there, you know, that would be willing to step up. And I think Sun River is one of your biggest. They've got the people that know how to do this kind of stuff. And I think a written plan with your step-by-step is extremely important so that nobody gets off, you know, like Kathy had said, is this something get in the way of this? Because it has to be pretty obvious to everybody that Park and Rec does not have the money to do all the things they need to do, from maintaining buildings, etc. And so until we finally decide that you're going to focus on this one and then go to this one, I think it's still going to be a concern to everybody that will we ever get there. So that's just my thoughts. But I totally support it.
Karen, do you have some comments?
First of all, I want to say that my heart goes out to the children and the fact that we need to help you with water. It's undoubtedly true that you have no water out there and you can't do anything without water. I think we got off base when we started talking about swimming pools, and that takes a lot of water, guys. I used to have one. I think that we need to settle down and decide whether or not we can afford to move forward to give you the water. And we need you to be responsible for what we give you. In the past, you have not been responsible. That doesn't mean that I'm ditzing you, it just means that that's a fact. And if we're going to give you this water, you have to be reasonable with what you do with it. We want to see ball fields down the road. We'd like to see leagues come in here and play ball for kids. But giving somebody something without making you responsible for that, or telling you that we expect that responsibility, would be wrong on our part, because we charge a lot of money for that water out there in that neighborhood. And those people are saying to us individually, you're going to give how much water away? I rest my case.
What I've heard is that it's imperative for the Parks District to have an understanding that they're going to have the water to be able to maintain that park, to partly build some of the support and interest that they will need to make it a reality and look how it should. What I'm hearing from the council is that we want to help and see that come to fruition. Maybe at this time, I think if there are questions pertaining to what has been built into the MOU regarding the level of accountability, I think that's what we should start to discuss. Because ultimately, it's these words that are on paper that both boards, the Park Board and the Council, have been able to look at over the last month and a half. And I'd like to kind of steer our attention to that.
I will move to the fact that everybody's had a chance to discuss it, and we can move to the MOU. Have you found any areas in here?
Two areas, very simple though, but not a disagreement. But this is a formal agreement. We shouldn't be using an IT apostrophe S. So in paragraph 5, it should be said it is. Is
this on the front page?
Okay.
On page 2 or 3, it should be it is. Mm-hmm. It's more professional. Okay.
Point taken.
That's a minor thing.
Yeah.
What we need to clarify is paragraph 9.
Same page?
On the same page. And clearly there's an option to extend the agreement after initial term for an additional. That needs to be spelled out clearly. Is it 1 year, 3 year for the same term that we're doing it for the 39 months or what?
Say that again now.
It says for an additional years beginning, and it doesn't, you really need to define what that is.
So are we saying initial term, this agreement will automatically extend after the initial term for an additional
what?
It's 1, 2, 3 years.
What it's saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, if this isn't how you would articulate that, but it's saying that you can extend it for 1 year.
Okay, well then.
Or you can extend it for 2, or you could extend it for 15 if you wanted. It's saying it could be 1 year. I mean, we can change that language. From the discussion I've heard here, there is no doubt that this agreement will be revisited and not automatically extended. There will be checkpoints, and it will be reconsidered.
But we need to put in language that really does that.
Okay.
I think. It just clarifies what everybody
is
agreeing to.
Makes that pretty clear.
But I think what I hear, and I'm going to speak from the city's point of view, is that maybe in July 2019, you guys are looking at it and you say, okay, hey, we want to do this another year because maybe we have some current concerns, and if those concerns are addressed, we'll do it a year and then more beyond that. Or if things are going great, maybe at that point in time you say, yeah, let's do another 3 years. So it might benefit the council to be able to say, we're not actually going to extend it just automatically 3 years at a time in 3 year blocks, which goes back to the accountability that Karen did.
Go ahead.
Had asked for.
Right.
So maybe the language just the agreement automatically extends out the initial time for an additional number of years to be determined by the council on a case-by-case basis or something in that language.
I have a problem with the automatic because I don't remember that being there. Maybe it was.
We did.
But it would presume.
That paragraph has not changed from the very beginning.
But we would be presumptuous to lay this on another council. automatically. I think that that's, I don't think it's in our best interest or the city's best interest. I have no problem with it coming back to the council, but to use the term automatic, we at that point in time need to stop and say the council, we go through this process again. And that was what I understood was the way it was going to be.
My recommendation would be to strike that entire sentence.
That was mine too.
And that means that this agreement ends June 30th, 2019.
Yeah.
And it would have to be readopted prior to that to extend beyond that.
I pointed it out.
Okay.
I think that's an excellent point.
Okay.
I think the other thing that needs to be diligently remembered by both sides is that this agreement is in place and is not, you know, misplaced or gets lost in the files or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm confident that that will not happen. So this will be revisited probably sooner than 2 years from now.
It would have to be.
Yeah.
Lost in the files is one of the best phrases. I know what that's about.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I've heard that. If I could add, and one of our counselors has already said that he'd like to see us revisit this every 180 days. And a simple sentence like that could be put in here. Or is it already in here?
I'm not sure that's necessary, but I think the consensus of the board is that we'd love to get down and talk and say, hey, we got this going on, or this is a situation. What I mentioned to Corey in one of our earlier meetings, I think it was February 2nd, is that our board is extremely interested to make sure that nothing is swept under. If some major deal happens, we're going to be on your doorstep explaining and talking and asking and recommending, that kind of thing. So it's going to be part of how we're doing business these days. It's not, gee, we can hide it for 2 years and then come back and kind of put our tail between our legs and say, we have no idea what happened.
Since we have, it can be terminated in 180 days, mm-hmm. It only stands to reason that you come back and just say, hey, this is what we've done, and mm-hmm. So there's no question about terminating it or anything.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I think that part of that communication can happen between staff and updates can be given. I don't know if it needs to be written explicitly into the MOU.
It's already in paragraph 5.
But the part about it being incumbent upon the district?
Yes.
Yes, and that's a point that you brought up earlier this month, and that's something that is new, but I figured that it was kind of went without saying and was in the city's best interest. It's the sentence that is, it is incumbent upon the district to report to the city if any issues arise, the last sentence in section 5. So instead of having, call it a 180-day semi-annual update, if something arises, we expect to know sooner than 180 days.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why it's in there.
Right.
That was our suggestion.
I like that.
But I think that you know, there's nothing wrong with this 180 days. It helps not for the thing not to get lost, and two, it sets everybody's expectations that, yeah, we'll get to sit down every 180 days and hear what's going on.
It's a real partnership. That's a partnership.
Sure.
But I don't know that it needs to be in the MOU. That could be something that's just understood.
Yes.
Between the two boards.
You know, the board has business other than Findlay Butte to deal with that is going to involve the city. And this, you know, that's, the city needs to be apprised of what's going on in terms of what's either happening or our thinking or future planning concepts. Mm-hmm. You know, the city's is a partner.
But, and that's the operative word. And I think that the meeting should be predicated on the broader partnership, and in those meetings this is visited as an agenda item or a topic for discussion.
Exactly.
Instead of the meeting revolves around this and then you talk about other business.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is a piece of it.
That's perfect.
I think that
I did too.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
The whole thing is I want us to become more of a partner. That's all. And if you can't talk and sit down like this, then you aren't being partners.
There was one other item. I found under paragraph 8 of page 2. If I could just sort of hand this around. It's our intent to change the signage at the park. And this is a proposal we're looking at to accomplish that in compliance with paragraph 8. Of course, we've got to figure out a way to get it done, get it paid for, and all of that.
Well, and with the, you wouldn't want to move too quickly on something like this with the new project coming up for... What did I just do today?
Nothing. No, you're talking about the branding initiative going on. Yeah. Oh, the logo. Yeah, that's minor.
You wouldn't want
that'll get squared away, no problem.
Yeah, okay. Well, we just changed our logo. We have a new logo, so you can see that too. So, but this is the idea, to rename it the Findlay Butte Sports Complex, indicating it's Lapine Park and Recreation District in partnership with the City of Lapine.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest part of the sign. And then in addition to that, we say, why not thank the other partners that we have? Hopefully we can get Sun River going. Hopefully we can have a professional ball team as a partner. The Lions Club, you know. Yayas, just all the people that are
just
there
list.
To recognize it, because that's what makes this community great is all the partnerships we have.
I think we can at this time, we have a full consensus of the council to move forward with the MOU, and that would set your mind at rest about it being voted on it at our next council session.
We will be, our next board meeting is formal board meeting. Yes, like March 15th. At which time the board is also, if I could give a consensus, all on board. And we can formalize and sign our end of it on March 15th.
I'll make the changes, the two changes that were recommended to the document, and we'll plan to have this on the agenda at the March 9th meeting.
Okay.
And you could also indicate probably that it's not effective until both signatures are on it. So that way...
Oh, definitely.
If the city council can approve it at the next meeting, and our meeting is just 2 weeks later, whatever procedure you want to use, otherwise you could wait till April or whatever.
Karen has one question about this.
Yeah, I do have one question. You guys are giving the annual contribution, so how is that going to look? Is it going to be that
prior to June 2016?
Right. So my question is is it going to be like this monthly thing we're looking at, or is this something that's going to be, I don't know. That's my question.
What's the billing like?
The understanding is that effective April 1, the park district would be paying, as in Section 4, the monthly utility charges based on a 2-inch meter. And it was our thought, at least what I heard at the last meeting, is that for April and May and part of June, well, that portion before it starts, that the new July 1 contribution, so May, April, May, and June, you would be able to use the water. I don't think you'll exceed 3,500 gallons.
No.
So, and then July 2016, you would get that next 3,500 for the following year.
Okay.
To get this in place prior to waiting until the middle of the summer.
Okay. So does that look like on our billing that I guess one of my questions is our bookkeeper.
Do you want to know how much water you use?
So, well, we kind of, you did send that to us.
To see if you're going to go over it?
No, it wasn't really over it. It was more of, are we looking at, we aren't billed until that water is
used.
You'll have a monthly, you'll just have the regular monthly bill for April, May, June.
Okay.
And then moving into the following years, it'll be the same thing. Where we're not really tracking the usage until potentially you go over 3,500 or 3,500,000 gallons, excuse me.
So it's just a steady...
$317.
Same.
Yes. I just wanted to make sure.
So,
so you can budget with that.
Sorry for not answering that.
You did indicate that the amount of water that was used.
Oh, we can give you that information monthly,
that's
correct.
Really important.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we can provide that.
Perfect.
Okay. We will, the city council session will be at rest.
And the board of directors for the Lapine Park and Rec District also.
Are you coming back? Because you can close your board at this time.
Yeah, we're not coming back, are we, guys? No. Then we'll do that. We'll close our board meeting right now.
All right. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And we're going to take a break.
Yes.
And we're going to take a break. Help yourself to everything but the radishes.
I will.
Yeah.
Ashley?